Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, and so grateful to have you here today. Judy and I love planning the Mighty Parenting shows as well as putting together all the other aspects of Mighty Parenting for you. So thanks for reading, listening, and for sharing Mighty Parenting with other parents you know. You are the best way for other parents to find out what's available to them. Also, just a quick reminder that you can subscribe to the podcast for free on your favorite podcast player. Just go to mightyparenting.com, hit podcast, and you will get what you need there. Today, we are talking about kids and dads and how important it is for dads to show up for their kids, but also to focus their time and energy so they can have a great positive impact on their children's lives. I know in our world over here down in Southwest Michigan, my hubby and I were definitely both better about this when our kids were little. I don't know if it's because our schedules were less full, although as I hear myself saying those words, I don't think that's true. It was just a different type of scheduling than what we have now. But I don't know if it was schedules or because the kids didn't have so much control over their own lives. You know, as they become teens, as they move into the 20-somethings, they wrest control out of your hands for their time. I don't know if it's a subconscious belief that they don't want or don't need that time with us as they get older, or if just after so many years of parenting, we get tired and we get lazy and don't put in the effort. Whatever the reason, I've definitely seen less of this type of focused, intentional time with our kids as they went through their teen years and started their 20-somethings, and then we kind of turned it around and started doing more. So I saw the problems start to creep in, and I saw how they start to recede when all this happens. Our guest today, Justin Batt, has seen this across our culture. He sees that kids are suffering when our dads are emotionally absent, so he has become passionate about disrupting fatherhood. He aims to do this with intentionality. He's creating intentional fathers who raise good kids who become great adults. Justin founded Daddy Saturday in his own backyard with his four children, and it has grown. It has grown like crazy. It's now a national movement engaging fathers across multiple channels. It is across YouTube, social media, the book, the Alexa skill. There's a podcast, merchandise, live events, and even a 501c3 foundation. All of this he is utilizing so that they can impact 10 million fathers in the next 10 years. Justin, I am so glad to play a part in this impacting. I know we're reaching some dads today, and we're going to reach some moms who are going to share it with some dads. But I think your Daddy Saturday work is really amazing. And I know I love to see what you're bringing to dads. It certainly encouraged me to be more mindful in how I'm spending time with my girls as well. So very excited for our conversation today.
Thanks, Sandy. It's such an honor to be on and to join you here today. And I would say that I love you bringing this point out right from the beginning, and that is intentionality applies to anyone. So while I'm coming at it from the angle of a father, it certainly applies to mothers or any father figure or caregiver in the life of a child.
And that's something for us to remember, right? All of us women or grandparents or aunts, uncles, teachers, whoever today, that we're going to talk in terms of dads, although I do have a couple of dot points here, things I wanted to talk about on a mom perspective, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, this is for all of us, but also to remind all of us to support dads in our lives who are doing this. And let's talk a little bit about what this is. I know, Justin, you talk about fathers who are physically present but emotionally absent. What do you mean by this?
So I was honored to be able to give a TEDx about a year and a half ago, and the TEDx centered around the topic of fatherlessness. And certainly if you look at fatherlessness and the root definition, it revolves around the lack of a biological father in the home. And the statistics show that there's over 20 million children in America that are suffering from fatherlessness, and there have been many more in the past that had that impact on their lives. And while it is an epidemic and it's of substantial consequences to our society today, the problem that I'm addressing is actually even more prevalent, and that's what we call the presenteeism dad, who the dad's physically there but emotionally absent. And we see that so often in the fathers today who just struggle with the challenges of managing that tension between work and home, or they're disengaged with their kids, or they are distracted by technology or other forms of screen time in their lives. And so, you know, it's a prevalent issue, and it's something that we need to get our hands around in society, because if we're going to really raise good kids that become great adults and make the impact that we know they can make, it all starts today by having an engaged, intentional father in the home.
Well, why is that? I mean, how is dad being around but not fully engaged, how is that impacting our kids?
A couple of ways. So first and foremost, as I like to say for Daddy Saturday and with my kids, far more is caught than taught. And so, you know, if we're going to change the next generation, it starts with the example that we're setting for our own kids. And first and foremost, if we are exemplifying the traits of a disengaged or disenfranchised father, then how can we expect our kids to be any different when they get to that stage in their life? But even before that, when you think about the impact that it makes on a child's life immediately, whether it's a young child or certainly in their teens, they are looking at the father for a variety of things. First and foremost, if it's a boy, they're looking at the father for the image of a man and what a man is and who they should be like as a man. And if we want them to exemplify the positive traits of that, then we have to be a positive and engaged father. So being overly engaged in social media or in our screen time or being apathetic in the way that we approach our children, it kind of goes back to the whole dad shaming concept. And it's that negative image of a dad that we have sitting in a chair with a beer in his hand today. And that's just not okay. We can't expect our children to be great adults if that's the approach we have to fatherhood. And same thing, if it's a young girl, she's looking at that man as the image of the future man that she's going to marry one day and the role of a man in her life. And if he's not engaged and intentional, then that creates a void. And oftentimes you see that father wound played out later in life, and it has dramatic consequences and impacts on the success of a child in the future. And it all starts with how engaged and intentional they are with the kids when they're young.
Yeah, it's funny. I have two daughters. They're in their early 20s now, and still to this day, I can see their faces. They just light up. I mean, not necessarily always a big, huge, but you can see that difference when they have dad's undivided attention. It can be something simple. It can just be hanging. My youngest is teaching her father how to play guitar, and she was home a week or two ago, and it was fabulous just to be in the room or to be in the kitchen and listening and be, you know, catch little sneak peeks and see how happy it made her just to spend that time with him.
So it's interesting, Sandy, because you're talking about it from the viewpoint of a mother and a wife, and how awesome is it that you're also benefiting in your relationship with your husband by watching that interaction take place. And that's something else that I think is also critical when you examine the situation of an engaged father and the difference it makes. Well, it's not just benefiting the child, it's also benefiting the marriage, which then again benefits the child. So, you know, there are so many pieces to this. And isn't it funny too how sometimes the teacher can turn around and end up being taught by the child when they get older in that scenario? And it's all because your husband clearly was intentional and engaged and has the type of relationship with his daughter where she could come back and teach him something like playing the guitar. So that's evidence that obviously you two did it right. And as now your children are grown, they're coming back and you're seeing the proper relationship being in place.
Well, there's some right, there's some not so right. And that's our longtime listeners hear the stories and know that, you know, in our family, we went through some emotionally and otherwise turbulent times. And I've talked about things like letting the family dinner go when the kids got in high school and they got busier and my work was busy and my husband was dealing with struggles we've discovered since that he's on the autism spectrum. And so just all this stuff was going on paired with, like I said, their schedules. He's a math tutor, so he works evenings, I work days. Just letting that craziness win for a while. And that's what in the opening I talked about, seeing what happens when you don't put in that concerted effort, when you aren't engaged. I've seen that in my relationship with the kids, and I've seen that in their relationship with their dad. And then I also get to see, you know, this turnaround of watching them do things, build things, even though they are, you know, technically they're young adults. They're still teenagers to me a lot of times, but technically young adults. And so, Justin, you know, we're talking about how we have a lot of fathers, and I shared a little bit about what happened in our household, but in general, why is fatherhood like this? You've said this is, you know, the fatherlessness in general is an epidemic, and this is even a bigger problem, this emotional absenteeism. How have we come, is this a cultural thing that we've come to see this? Is this hectic and chaotic and we're just exhausted? What is causing this?
Well, I think that as we've evolved over time, I look at my dad and my grandfather, his father, and I see the evolution of fatherhood and the example that I had in my life. You know, my dad's dad was very blue collar. He worked a job where he would go in at 6 a.m. and not come home until 6 or 7 p.m. and, you know, just had limited capacity with the kids. And on the weekends, he was engaged in other activities and he was tired from work. And my dad didn't get a lot of time with his dad. And I think because of that, my dad was very involved and engaged and gave us lots of time. My dad was so involved in terms of a time capacity, and he came leap years from where his father was. And, you know, I hope to do the same and build off of my father with my kids and do some things like my dad did and do some things differently. But as I look at those different spectrums of fatherhood across those three generations, what I've seen is that our society has evolved, and the pressure on fathers has never been greater than it is today at this very moment. And we've come to this precipice where we've got a decision to make as dads. And that decision is going to change the outcome of the very fabric of our society. Because when you look at the impact of fatherlessness, or you look at the impact of a mother and a father in the home with children, the outputs of that are substantial. When you look at teenage pregnancy, when you look at alcohol and drug abuse, when you look at suicide, when you look at any jail time, any major statistic, it is always better when they're statistically significantly better when there is a father in the home, and especially when that's also with a mother and a father. And so we're at this point now where it's not just about the father in the home, it's also about that father being engaged and being intentional and being fully present with the kids. And so we look at distraction. There's never been more distraction than there is today with technology. The financial pressures to keep up with the Joneses and to advance in your career and to have a place in society has also never been greater. So fathers have these demands that are just being placed on their shoulders, and it's this immense weight. And I think that's what we've tried to go through with Daddy Saturday, is be an outlet for dads to help them with very practical tools, tips, application, and knowledge to manage that tension, to create margin in their lives, to have very practical ways to be intentional with their kids, to help break that cycle. And we know that if we can have those micro moments with our kids, where in those micro moments, you add up the 15 minutes here, the hour, a couple of hours here, and you do that over a multitude of years, that's what produces that relationship and produces that good kid that becomes a great adult. So in my eyes, Sandy, to really answer the question, I think it's because of that immense pressure that we have today that no father has ever faced. And frankly, we've also got the largest social experiment ever in the history of our world going on right now too. When you look at social media and you look at technology and the addictive nature to which all those things are being engineered and being placed in every aspect of our lives. So dad's got a lot against them, and they need a lot of resources and a lot of help to be able to move forward through this time frame and to have the positive impact we know that we can make as fathers.
Yeah. And there are several things in there. I would love to go off on a tangent, but I really want to make sure that we are sharing your information. So we're not going to get into the detail at this moment of technology and stuff, while I know it's going to be a piece of this conversation. So the Daddy Saturday work, this is based on, you know, the father's role in their child's life. So how do you see that role?
So for me, this has been an evolution. And when I started off as a dad, as most dads do, I wanted to wear the t-shirt and be that hero to my kids. And I tried to be for a long time. And what I found was that in doing so, I was actually harming or inhibiting my kids' growth instead of helping and nurturing it. And what I mean by that is we often as fathers view ourselves as that hero. But if we do that, what ends up happening is what we're now seeing with the millennial generation, which is they don't experience failure in their youth or in their young adulthood. And so when they move into adulthood as productive members of society and in their careers and as parents, when they do experience failure for the first time, it can be catastrophic because failure at 8 is far different than failure at 28 or 38. And so when you play the hero, you rob your child of the ability to have that failure experience of failure and the process of learning through it. So my view of fatherhood is much more of that as the guide. So if you use the Star Wars example, instead of Luke Skywalker, you play the little green guy and you play Yoda. And and when you're Yoda, what that means is that you allow your child to be the hero of their own story, but you're there to support them and guide them so that they experience success and failure along the way. And that's a very different mindset and concept to how we approach fatherhood. And why that's so critical is because two things. One is when you position yourself as the guide rather than the hero, what you're also doing is you're checking your ego as a dad. Very hard thing for me to do. But when I did that, I opened up my hands and I allowed other people to come into my child's life, my children's lives, and help them grow in areas that I may not have strengths or skill sets or development in. And my example is I am like the least handy guy in the world. I grew up knowing how to throw curveballs and spirals and played every sport known to man. I didn't spend a lot of time working with wood or as a carpenter, and I'm just not a handy person. And so I'm not skilled in that area. My kids love to do things in that area. And so I've brought other men into their lives who do have skill sets in those areas, and they allow my children to experience that and to grow. And you know what's ironic about it? It actually makes me a hero in their eyes because they see me as the connector. They see dad as the one who brought that person in. Another example is we're going on a really amazing fishing expedition soon here on the coast. We live in Charleston. And so I've got a literal fishing guide, a gentleman we know who's an expert fisherman who's going to take us out and show my kids how to fish. He has more knowledge than I could ever have in that area. And as a guide, he is serving that role for my children. And I'm also being a guide by bringing that person into my child's life. And then I think the third piece, and it's really important for your listeners and who are either grandparents or have older children, is if you assume the role of the guide in the appropriate place, then you're going to be the guide when your kids need it the most, which is where I'm at today, right? I'm 38. My dad, I don't need a hero anymore. My dad was my hero. He always will be my hero. And now I need a guide because I need someone to stand there beside me and help me through parenting my own children. And that's the role that he needs to play. And by assuming that early on, he naturally takes that role.
So I'm curious. You mentioned this idea that dads want to jump in, be the hero, solve the problem, you know, kind of almost that knight in shining armor kind of thing for your kids. You have a daughter and three sons. Was it harder with your daughter than your sons, or was it kind of the same experience to let go of that?
I wouldn't say harder. I would say different. And what I mean by different is, you know, she's my oldest, but she's also my little girl, and she always will be my little girl, right? As any dad views their daughter. And so with her, I think I've just had to have a little bit more empathy. My approach tends to be different. And as I'm guiding her, I've also spent a lot of time on daddy-daughter date nights or just having independent conversations, quick, you know, 15, 20-minute bike rides where we just converse. And so I've learned what her style is, how she likes to have feedback, and what that communication sounds like. And people may look at that and go, gosh, that sounds like a lot. But I look at it and say, how do you not do that? It's so important because I was missing the mark with my daughter. And a great example is we do this thing where at 10, 13, and 16, a great advisor gave me this concept of winter's travel. And so I travel with my kids by myself at 10, 13, and 16 years old on or around their birthdays. We go somewhere for a couple of days, and it can be anywhere in the U.S. they want to pick. My daughter just turned 11, so on her 10-year-old birthday, we went to New York. And while we were there, we had a phenomenal time. We went to 3 Broadway shows in 3 days. We had a great experience. It was all around her. We laughed. We communicated more than we ever have before. We're getting ready to leave, and it's that morning to get to the airport, and she's just like dawdling around. And I had to ask her a couple of times, like, come on, honey, we got to go. We're going to be late. And because I was there and present in that environment and it was not our normal environment, I got to see her and I said, you don't like to be rushed, do you? And she said, no. And I said, when I start to get on you about being late, I can see how you kind of shut down. And she said, yes. And I'm reliving so many mornings getting ready for school in our house and the way that I've handled that. And I was handling it totally incorrectly. And so we had a chance to talk about it and say, well, what could we do then so that we don't get in the situation? She's like, well, I could have packed last night. I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. Same thing at home. You lay your clothes the night before when you're getting ready for school. And so we had this amazing conversation, but I saw something in my daughter that I had not seen before because I was engaged in that moment. And so when I look at anything, whether it's having those parenting conversations or those critical conversations or moments of failure or serving as the guide in those roles, I do think it's different with girls and boys. I do think it's different with every single child that you have. You have to learn their personality styles, what their love language is, how they like to be communicated with. And each of my kids are different. And they're also different in terms of their age levels and their capacity to whether I'm teaching them or training them, if that also makes sense. Teaching meaning that's hot, don't touch it. Training is that's hot, don't touch it. And here's why and what impact that will have.
Yeah. My husband has always taken, we're a camping family. We like backpacking. We like camping. And he's always done girl trips. Sometimes he takes both of them together and sometimes he takes just one. But they're so different from the trips where all four of us go. And as you said, same thing. I don't even think he realized how much he learns about the girls when he spends that kind of concentrated time with them. And you said people say, oh, that's a lot or that's hard learning all that. Well, I think it's from what you've said and watching my husband, I would tend to say, no, it's not that it's hard. It's just taking the time. It's not like you were there going, oh, this is something I have to learn and I have to figure out. You're just spending time with your kids. And because you're there, and you, as you said, an important element of that is also being present, but you just start to notice things about them. It's not a project and it's not difficult. It's just, it just is.
That's exactly right, Sandy. And I think as you look at our society today and you know, you go out to dinner and you sit in any restaurant, and how unfortunate is it to see so many scenarios that we all see today and are so common where you've got a family sitting at the table, especially if there's teenagers. And every single one of them is involved in a conversation with their own phone in front of their face and not with each other. And you know, I just shake my head, and it's so sad because in those moments, again, like you don't get to notice those little things. There's so many little things that come out in moments like that where you're sitting around a dinner table at a restaurant together as a family. And you know, you just got to be able to put that down and engage. And that engagement, that being present, is so critical. But you only get there if you've got the mindset and the thought process in place. And that's why, you know, you'll hear me say intentionality, intentionality, intentionality over and over and over again, because that's just how I've chosen to view my role as a parent and as a father. And I think that's what's so critical, because if you are intentional in every situation, it changes the game. It changes the dynamic, because you can't sit there on your phone as a family and be intentional. The two things don't work.
No, they don't. So let's dig into a little bit more on being intentional, being present. We've mentioned this a few times. What does that look like?
So a lot of people ask me that question, and it's like, so you talk about intentionality, what is intentionality? And to me, if I'm going to give an example, intentionality would be where you are planning ahead. It's having a game plan. And what I found in particular with Daddy Saturdays is that I can't wait until Saturday morning to plan our day together. I can't wait until I'm doing one-on-one time with my kids and I just say, hey, let's go for a bike ride and spend some one-on-one time together. And I spontaneously drop that on them. I typically have to put it on the calendar on purpose, plan it out, and then think about what that's going to look like ahead of time. So being intentional is planning. Being intentional is having that game plan. And what I found is when you do that, it's amazing the freedom you can have going into that time with your kids, because now you're free of distractions, you're prepared, you've got something that you're engaging them with or around, And those are the moments that I talk a lot about too, it becoming epic. And that's how you have an epic moment, is when you've been intentional, you've planned it out, and they're engaged. I've got young kids. I've got 11 to 5 and 9 and 7 in between. And so my kids still to this day, I will plan my Daddy Saturday on Wednesdays. And if I need to, I can order it through Amazon Prime. And if I've got anything, it'll be at the house by Friday. So I'm ready to go. I've got my plan. I've got my tools, and I'm set up to go. I'll hype my kids up on Friday night before they go to bed. And then Saturday morning, they still, it's like running through the tunnel out to a sporting event. They come flying down the hallway as soon as they wake up, and they can't wait to see what's on the table and what's the plan for Daddy Saturday. And it's this such a cool moment for me. And that's all it comes from, is spending a little bit of time on YouTube or the internet, on Google search, or just sitting down and thinking about what could I do with my kids and what would be fun this weekend. And you know, now with Daddy Saturday, we've created a bunch of resources to help dads not have to go do that research. It's right at their fingertips. But that's the plan of being intentional. That's how it works.
Yeah, you share a few of the things that you've done in your book, and then anyone who buys the book, you have the bonus where they can go and get 52 ideas. So that's a huge help, because I have to admit, I'm a planner and an organizer, but when I first started listening to you talk about doing that, it exhausted me to think about having to every week come up with this game plan, get the stuff. I tend to be more relaxed in the time that I spend with my girls. And I can see the benefit of having these different things to do and to have this engagement. And a lot of it will bring out laughter and silliness, which is just so emotionally healthy for everybody. Like you said, there's that anticipation, even, and I'm sure it starts before Friday. I also imagine you getting the kids all ramped up right before bed on Friday night. Not a great move there, Justin. But anyhow, I can see where there's that benefit, but it sounded exhausting. And then I saw in the book, you're like, oh, bonus. Okay. Shoo. You know, there's something to get you started. Cause I, you know, once you start doing it, you'll find a groove for your own family. Like you talked about taking your big vacations. Well, not everybody can do that. Not everybody necessarily wants to do that. I know a lot of people who just can't stand to travel, but the idea of creating a different environment, getting outside the norm. And that's what I kind of feel like you do with even just the Saturdays, is that you're just breaking yourself and the kids out of this day-to-day sort of task-oriented life that we can fall into. And you're creating some excitement and something different. And at the base of all that is just, they know dad's thinking about them, and that you are, or that they are important to you.
So Sandy, you bring up so many great points there. And you know, look, I'd like to clarify and say that, yes, at this point, we're probably a little bit extra and over the top, because we have to be at this point to you know, make Daddy Saturday something that draws people in. And I've now gotten to the point where I've spent so many Saturdays with my kids that now, you know, it's about consistency, and it's about momentum, and even growing it further as they grow and evolve. But at the same time, we talk about this word epic. And epic moments with your kids, those are memory burns in my eyes, right? Those are those moments where, as you mentioned, we have a trampoline in our backyard together, and we're tickling each other and laughing, and we're exhausted from playing together, and we're looking up at the clouds and trying to pick out cloud animal characters, and we're just talking and spending time together. Like, that's an epic moment. That is a memory burn that I will have forever, and it costs nothing but some of my time. So being epic does not have to be extravagant, does not have to be extraordinary. And it typically helps if it is experiential, because you're together, but the level of that experience is really up to you. It's up to your economic means. It's up to your time. It's up to your geography. There's a lot of factors. And as you said, the rhythm or the pulse of your family. So it's about finding what works for you. We're just trying to give a roadmap here that focuses on intentionality, and then allowing you to take that and mold it and shape it to what works in your family. And I'm at the point now where I have all these dads sharing all of these, you know, visuals and videos and stories of what they're doing on their Daddy Saturdays. And what I think is fun is, it's kind of like that old, the show Tim the Toolman Taylor And, you know, he would always try and make things better than they were, or soup it up and make
more
it
power.
More power, right? And that's what I'm starting to see with these dads, is that they will take an idea that I may have, and then they'll come back and say, well, look what I did. And they try to take it two or three levels up. And that's great. That's exactly what I was hoping would happen. And it's so rewarding to see these dads engaging their kids and taking it to the next level.
Well, I was busting a gut reading your book, and you talked about bubble wrapping the kids. Would you share that story?
Yeah. So one of the engagements we did was I went to Lowe's and I bought every roll of like the giant bubble wrap they had in the moving section, and came home and my kids are like, what are we doing with this, dad? And I'm like, just wait. So I wrapped them up in these sumo suits. And it was so funny because Mason was probably four. He's my second youngest boy. And he was so wrapped that when he would fall over, he was like a turtle. He could not get back up. So I kept having to pick him up. We made jousting sticks, and they all had names for each other. And they just had a blast. They were on our trampoline. They were running in and crashing into each other. And they played for an hour plus just in these bubble wrap suits. And then they jumped on their bikes afterwards and thought they couldn't get hurt because they were all padded. And it was a blast. And they've actually asked to recreate that now. And so we will have bubble wrap battle version 2, and I'm sure even more. And the neighborhood kids love that one as well.
Well, and that's part of it too, is like you said, these don't have to be epic concepts to implement. It's, you create the epic moments by just creating the space and the time with your kids and doing some simple things with them. And I think that sometimes those are the most fun. I know in our family, we have Fowler Day once a year. We get everybody together. Usually it's at my brother-in-law's house because his family's really great at this kind of thing. So like one year they decide they wanted a slip and slide, but this isn't just for the kids. So they created a 100-foot long slip and slide. And half the fun of that was, you know, they got it out, they put everything out, we're all there, and it didn't work right. So half the fun was problem solving and troubleshooting. And then, you know, what happened? They finally figured that their solution was to put shampoo all over this piece of Visqueen. The water wasn't enough. You needed more slide. And I still vividly remember this from many years ago, and it makes me want to laugh all over again. And those are the stories. I'm sure that you're spending time outside of Daddy Saturdays with your kids, your family, other people, where your kids are sharing these stories and you're sharing your perspective and stories. And it's just that process of storytelling and going back to those memories solidifies and grows actually our connection with our kids. So it's a fun and a beautiful way to do that without it having to be totally crazy.
Yeah. And so we've had more slip and slides than I care to mention. Right. And one of my favorite slip and slide adventures was we did the slip and slide mystery surprise, where we had a box at the end of the slip and slide and there were two lanes, and you had lane one and lane two with caution tape, and you couldn't see what was behind it. And so the kids would have to pick a lane and slide. And if you slid into the surprise lane, then there was ketchup or mustard or whipped cream or whatever on the other end of it. And they had goggles on, and the pictures were priceless. And then they made me do it, of course. And every time I got the surprise, and they were typically combining every single thing into one pile. So it was great. They got dad too. So absolutely. Right. And I think you're spot on. And what I would say too is, for some people listening to this and they're like, well, I've got teenagers, they wouldn't want to do a slip and slide surprise, or they wouldn't want to do a bubble wrap battle. And you know what? You may be right. But I would also say that with teenagers in particular, and I've got a preteen, and my daughter's moving into that role, and she started to withdraw and wants to do her own thing more. And I'm seeing that challenge of how to keep her engaged in Daddy Saturdays with the three amigos and the boys. And so what I've found is that we often tell ourselves a story in our head, Sandy, about the fact that our kids wouldn't want to, or that we don't know how or what that might look like to engage our kids when they're teens. And I think that that story is not a true story that we tell ourselves. And I think that at the end of the day, our kids are more than willing to engage us. And so what I found is I flipped it around. And so instead of me coming up with all the ideas, now I put it back on my daughter and I say, Hayden, what would you like to do this weekend for Daddy Saturday? And it's got to be something that can also appeal to the boys, right? And be fun for them too. But I put her in charge of it, and now she's got some ownership in it. And by planning it out and by being engaged and involved, now all of a sudden she's got some stake in the game, and it's not me asking for her time. She's now pulling me into the time that she's creating, and it's family time. So I found that to be a win. And I think that that's one thing is a strategy you could do with older teens is flip the script on them and let them help you create that engagement.
And I think you're spot on with the idea that this is a story in our heads, because the story I just told, this slip and slide adventure, 90% of the people involved in that were over 16.
That's right.
So, and the guys who had the most fun were the ones who were in their 40s and their 50s. So, it's not true, but I think as parents, we suggest something, and especially this, we get excited. We go, oh my gosh, I heard this interview and I read his book and I looked at his website and this is going to be so much fun and I'm going to connect with my kids. And we create these expectations in our head. And then when we say something and our teenager rolls their eyes, we let that deflate our entire balloon of joy that we had around this. So sometimes I think with teenagers, we just need to be a little more patient and more accepting of them and encourage them to come even after they had the eye roll. And your idea is perfect of having them have buy-in, have their ideas. You know, what do you want to do? What could we do? I think that there isn't such a line between little kids and big kids. I watch and I talk to families, and trampolines are ageless. I can't imagine that bubble wrap is not ageless. Now, maybe you need to combine the bubble wrap and the trampoline. That could be good. But I really do. I think our teens do want this. And as parents, we do tell ourselves those stories. We tell ourselves they don't need us as much. They don't want us as much. But it's not true. They're still learning from us. They're still modeling our behaviors, and they still notice whether we care or not. And even if it takes a few weeks, maybe you have a difficult relationship. Maybe you're a little distant from or estranged from your teen a bit. So you might have to work a little to get them to even show up. They might actually knowingly or not be testing you to see if you are seriously interested in them, if this is actually about them. But it brings me back to something else I wanted to talk about, Justin. That was, I just mentioned expectations. I know it's really easy to plan something out as a parent. Like you said, you start this on Wednesday and you order your stuff and you're excited about it. And maybe things aren't working out like you thought. Maybe you thought the surprise at the end of the slip and slide was going to be great and the kids just aren't buying it, or they start bickering or whatever, but our expectation gets blown. Do you have tips for handling that or managing our own expectations around this?
Yeah. So the easiest way to do that is to get rid of expectations. And that's what I found has been the most helpful, because literally every time you set up an expectation, think about this in the context of family gatherings or family dinners or family holidays. And it goes back to the Chevy Chase Christmas Vacation scenario, right? Where you build this whole thing up and then oftentimes it doesn't turn out the way that you imagined it. And I found myself with Daddy Saturdays in the same boat. I was Chevy Chase on Saturday and I would have this grand plan and it would not turn out like I wanted it to. One of my kids would be sick, or they would get in a fight and start arguing, or what I would try and build because I'm not handy would be a complete failure. And I'd spend all this time and money and energy trying to build something, and we'd have to scrap it and pivot and do something completely differently. And what I'd tell you is that those are some of our best moments. And those are some of the moments as a parent when it mattered the most. And it wasn't about the end result. Again, it goes back to, it was about the fact that we were all together spending time together. And it's those micro moments added up over time that at the end of the day will build your dad resume in this case and will result in that relationship with your kids long term. And so my kids love to talk about my failures. In fact, they will, if you were to ask them what are some of their favorite Daddy Saturdays, they would mention bubble wrap battle for sure because they love that one. But they would tell you more about the times that I tried something and failed and they thought it was hilarious. And you know, those are the moments that as a dad, I'll treasure. And so I think with expectations, the biggest thing is just to set them aside and to be intentional and to plan and prepare. And that's in everything. And when you do that, it allows some space, some margin for you just to operate in as a parent, and you don't have that pressure that you're putting in on yourself. Again, because I think we tell ourselves a story as parents around expectations of what we think our kids should do. And this is a really important point, Sandy. So let me go on a little short tangent here. And I think in our family, one thing that we're struggling with right now, and that I've really tried to wrap my hands around is, and it ties right into this, is part of those expectations are that we expect our kids to have values that we kind of just imply on them that they don't have yet or haven't learned yet or not at the level that we expect them to be at. And what I mean by that is gratitude or appreciation or responsibility or self-control or accountability or you name it, right? And we imply these things on what we expect our kids to have. So I go create this great day for my kids, and what do I expect them to be? Grateful. We all know kids are like the least grateful people in the world, especially when they're younger. They just naturally don't show gratitude, at least my kids don't, on their own. To me, they're great about it with other people, but internally with me, they don't often show it. So we've worked very hard. As soon as I stopped having an expectation that they'd be grateful, and I started helping them understand why it's important to be grateful, and I started modeling that behavior, started to help them see that value played out in real life, I can't tell you the number of times now where I put them to bed and they say, "Dad, that was a really great day. That was really fun. Thank you, Dad. That was awesome." And like, that's all I ever need, a couple of those, and I'm full for the rest of my life. But that didn't happen organically. That happened by letting go of expectations and modeling that behavior and showing those values to my kids over time. And so to any parent listening, I would say that's a key point, is don't just immediately expect your kids to have those values that fit your expectations. You got to model it and display it and show it over time.
And that goes hand in hand with something else you talked about in the book. You talked about checking your ego at the door. And I think that in a sense, this can happen. I spent so much time preparing for this and setting this up, and you guys aren't appreciating it. That is not the story that we want to have running through our head. This is the time to step back and get curious and go, they're not appreciating this. How can I show them what appreciation looks like so they can learn it?
That's exactly right. I just had a scenario with our son, Blaine, our oldest son. And Blaine had a really difficult Saturday this Saturday, and kind of culminated at the end of the night. And he was out of control, and he was disciplined by both my wife and I. And it just was a really bad day. He had a terrible attitude. And so we got up early on Sunday, and before church, we went out I went for a run, and he rode his bike, and we just talked the whole way. And we had this long conversation about the fact that it's a little acronym that we developed in our family. It's G plus A equals A, and gratitude plus your attitude determines your altitude. And your altitude is how high or how successful you are in life. And so your attitude drives everything, but how you get to a positive attitude is through gratitude. And so we were going through that and modeling it. And what I found out was he's going to a new school this next year. And he was really concerned about who his teacher is going to be. And he was upset because he doesn't know anybody there yet. And so he had all these little internal things going on that a 9-year-old boy is trying to deal with and doesn't know how to emote that correctly. And so that was coming out as negative behavior and causing him to get in trouble. And then I felt like a terrible parent because now I'm upset at my 9-year-old when really it was just a matter of us sitting down and having a conversation and figuring that out together. And so I think that, you know, with any child, a lot of times it's like an onion. You got to peel the layers back and find out that oftentimes what you're seeing on the surface isn't what the real problem is. It's a symptom of a far greater or deeper problem. And you got to peel that back and get to it. That gets more complicated as kids get older and they become teenagers. They tend to have more layers you got to peel. But at the same time, that process has worked very well for us. And that fun little acronym has been great in our household because I can come back and say, look, your attitude isn't where it needs to be today. Are you having gratitude about this situation right now? And they'll say no, and they recognize it, and it helps them get back in the flow again.
Yeah, and this is a lot of the concepts that we talked about today go so deep for our kids. But I also know that there are families out there who are going to struggle with this because dad's gone a lot. We have a lot of military families in the Mighty Parenting community, and they, of course, have to deal with a lot of absences and long absences between trainings and deployments. Do you have suggestions on how dad can be intentional and impactful when they aren't able to be physically there all the time?
So that's even more important for a dad who isn't there, right, or has limited time with the children. And you know, for all the military families listening, thank you for the service. We appreciate it, and your sacrifice is felt. And there's no one we want to help more, right, than a father who's sacrificing for his country and taking his time away from his children. And I think the principles of intentionality apply. So certainly, you know, if you're able to do, we have lots of military families we work with as well. So the FaceTime calls, right, or being able to schedule those routine calls where you can check in as often as possible, depending upon your deployment and what the scenario is, I think that's great. And making that as consistent and routine as possible. So if that's Wednesday night for X amount of time, then, you know, that's so important that happens. And if at all possible, you schedule that time. I think the other piece is when you come home, there's going to be this expectation, right, that you spend a lot of time and that it's so important because you've been gone so long. So then what does that look like, and how do you prepare for that, and how do you have that great engagement? And you know, I'm sure as a military father, I would expect that I would have the same thing where I would want to come home and I'd want to make up for lost time. And so how can I best do that and really have that dedicated time with my kids? And so what I would say is two things. One, it's important to have the dynamic where you're all there together as a family, but then I also feel like it's really important to make sure you have that scheduled one-on-one time with each of your kids where they feel like they're getting just that piece of you and you're fully there and intentionally engaged just on them, and you create some of those independent moments that you can have together. And again, it doesn't have to be expensive, extraordinary, extravagant. It can be going for a walk together. And there's lots of little things you can do. So could you go join your kids for school at lunch when you're home? Right, and break the rhythm of that, and you know, and now you're the physical hero walking in the lunchroom. But when you drop your kids off for school, could you take them to school, and instead of just dropping them off, could you go for a lap around the building together and just take a walk and walk one time around, and maybe that turns into two or three if you've got time as your kid talks to you. So lots of little things. Again, it goes back to just being intentional and thinking outside of the box and having a different perspective on your role as a father.
And I like this idea with the FaceTime calls, kind of almost blending that. Typically, it's going to be mom and family, but maybe being able to rotate with the kids and give each of them a few minutes of one-on-one with dad on the FaceTime call. Or again, you said there are lots of things on YouTube, and of course your Daddy Saturdays, and a lot of these are physically being there things. But even if dad can periodically do, a daddy time with the kids on the FaceTime call and come up with something different to do, whether it's something as simple as sharing jokes or, you know, something more auditory and visual than present. But again, it's just showing the kids that you took that time, that they're important to you, that you spent some time thinking about them and they're high on your priority list. But I have one last thing I want to squeeze in here. Justin, we have, of course, a lot of moms as well as dads listening. And, you know, moms have been going, oh, this is amazing. This is so important. I'd love it if my husband did this. What do you have to say to these moms? Because we all know that it's not a good idea to go to our husband and tell him he's been parenting wrong and tell him the way we think he should do it. So what advice do you have for the women who are listening?
Well, I appreciate the question. And in fact, if you see in the book, I have a section for wives, mothers, and daughters just addressing this very thing and just talking about the importance of how much it matters that they help their husband be involved and intentional and engaged. And in fact, you know, I've had a lot of single mothers or wives reach out to me and ask that very question and say, how do I get my husband involved or engaged? Or if I'm a single mom, how do I play that role in this capacity? And I think it's, if in terms of engaging your husband, what I would say is that you have to have some empathy and you do have to be very intentional about how you approach your husband with this. And what I would say is you can't go slapping in his face and be like, you know, you're a loser, you need to do this and pick it up. That's obviously not going to go well, as you said. So what I would recommend is that maybe there's another influential man or someone else that he listens to in his life. Maybe it's his dad that could pass the concepts on to him as a gift. I think there's also the ability to say, hey, I heard this podcast, or I listened to this conversation, or I saw this thing called Daddy Saturday. Why don't you take a look? And you just, it's a light introduction, right? And I think it progresses from there. I've found that with men, there's this little gene, it's called dad envy. And if you can play off of it, it actually turns out to be a great thing, because most men are inherently competitive. And so it's not like you want to stoke that fire right away, but if you can get introduce him to the concept and get him going on it, then that little dad envy competitive gene tends to take over. And that's for the dad that really wants to do this and gets involved and gets off the couch and gets engaged. They'll take it and run with it. So I would say start small, make light introductions, don't slam it in their face. And if you're a single mom listening to this, and I would say the intentionality applies equally to you. So play the role of a guide, do the same principles in Daddy Saturday, but then as the guide, help bring other men into your kids' lives that can play the role of that father figure in the areas where they need it the most.
Okay, so essentially what we've learned today is that our kids need their dads. They need their dads to be not only physically present, but emotionally present. And that means that it's time for dads to be intentional about how they spend time with their kids, to actually plan some time together. It doesn't have to be anything absolutely monumental. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be a major project. It can be small. It can be big. It can be monumental. It can be, you know, these trips and things like that. But to just focus on the kids and take that time and create that time and spend it with them. And then when you're with them, to also be fully present, and that our kids will gain from that. We will learn more about our kids. It'll improve relationships with them. And if dad is away, focus on the time that you will have with your kids in whatever capacity you can spend some time with them. And wives, mothers, and daughters, have the same compassion for our hubbies, and maybe one of the reasons he's not engaging is he doesn't have the energy anymore. So perhaps offer to help rework things around the house or something to create that space and create that time for them to do that. Justin, this was really great. Again, I love what you're doing. For anyone who wants to find out more about Daddy Saturday and this work, where can they go?
So daddysaturday.com is the website. So certainly go there. There's lots of resources and additional information. On Instagram, we're at Daddy Saturday, and you can follow the great visuals there. Same thing on YouTube. If you want to follow me or contact me personally on LinkedIn, Justin Batt. And then through the Alexa app, you can download the Daddy Saturday Alexa skill as well.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you, Mighty Parents, for being here today and being part of our community. Remember to go to mightyparenting.com, get your free communication tips email. And also remember that if you're here, if you're listening, you are a mighty parent. You're already doing what it takes. Continue being curious and modeling and talking to your kids. And we will see you next week.